The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Just a couple of things about the Michael Flynn case again. And you and I were talking about California Representative Daryl Issa telling Fox News yesterday that the FBI had tricked Flynn into not having a lawyer and had improperly postdated documents. And that's the 302 that they're talking about. And like you, I don't know what the judge will do because I don't know all the evidence that has been presented in this case.
Right.
And we can only discuss the things that we know. I love that saying. We only know what we know.
Yes.
We don't know what we don't know. And if you, from what we know, Flynn did nothing wrong. Talking to the Russian was not wrong. There was no violation of the law for doing so.
No.
Our question has always been, number one, who leaked it? That, you know, that who leaked the whole thing to begin with, which could be a violation of the law. What was the basis of the not only the unmasking but the original warrant? And I was reading a National Review today, a couple of articles in National Review about, did he lie? Forget about everything else, but did he lie? And we're talking about Michael Flynn. And my point is, doesn't matter. If he lied and it was a legit investigation that he knew about, and he knew he was under suspicion, and it was investigators talking to him as investigators, so any reasonable person would know that he wasn't talking to an FBI agent as a colleague, but he was talking to an FBI agent as an investigator. Well, then, yeah, if he lied and did a plea deal or went to court, yeah, then that would be legit. But my point has always been, when you ask, well, you can't lie to an investigator. Well, what if you don't know if it's an investigation?
Right.
What if you have no idea? What if there's no reasonable reason to believe that it's an investigation? You know you've done nothing wrong.
Right. Well,
no, and, nobody.
And that's the question. What's interesting is in the documents filed, the memo filed by his attorneys, Flynn's attorneys, a week ago tomorrow, they say he admits to wrongdoing, but they didn't phrase it as such. He admits to breaking the law. And there's a difference. We understand there's a plea deal in place. We understand that they're not asking for this to be dismissed. They're asking for probation and community service. Except for the fact that I think it leaves open the possibility by his attorneys, the possibility that the judge could see that, wait a minute, I still don't see where the law was broken. Lying to colleagues is not the same as lying to investigators. One is a crime, one is not. So did he commit a crime or not? Is there a crime here? That's the question. And it goes back to, and I know that Daryl Issa was talking in terms of, you know, violating the Miranda, his Miranda rights, because they did not state it as an investigation. They did not ever tell him that this was an investigation. They went out of his way to make sure he didn't believe it was an investigation.
Right, because it's not against the law. And let me give another example. The FBI is investigating the kidnapping of your neighbor.
Right.
And they come up to you and You're playing a softball game. You're at a softball game. It's right. your beer league softball game. And they say, hey, look, we just want to pull you over here. We were told you were here. We want to talk about the kidnapping next door. Do you know anything about it? They say, you know, we're investigating the kidnapping. At that point, you know, it's an investigation.
Right.
Do you know anything about it? No, I don't. So how you doing today? Well, I've hit three home runs. And you didn't hit three home runs. You technically are lying to FBI agents, even though it's completely unrelated to the investigation completely.
Right.
You still lied to FBI agents who are doing an investigation. But if you're just at a softball game and two FBI agents happen to be there watching the game, not investigating anything, and they ask you, how are you doing? And you say, I've hit three home runs. We've been here the whole time. You didn't hit three home runs. You've hit zero. Are you lying to investigators?
Right.
No, because they're not in that role at that moment. And that's the whole point here with Flynn, which, by the way, we brought this up. Maybe somebody else. I don't think anybody else has put this much emphasis on that I have heard yet. It's absolutely critical as to what role he thought those FBI agents were
exactly.
playing at that time, because he would be dealing with those FBI agents as colleagues.
Yes. And, sorry, but politically opposing administrations. That's the reality
yes,
of it.
Yes.
Because that has to be considered, too. That the incoming national security advisor, who only answers to one person, in the setting of talking to agents or anyone else, when he does not believe it's an investigation, can say anything that he wants to in terms of sharing information. He can keep a lot of things close to the vest. He does not have to be completely honest and truthful. And I guarantee you that has happened a number of times over the years where you had that kind of scenario in place.
And the clues that the FBI did not want him to know that it was an investigation are the fact that when McCabe talked to him, that wasn't the first thing. He didn't call him and say, look, we need to investigate this. We're doing an investigation. We need to talk to you. The first thing he
right.
started talking to him about was
training,
which is where they are colleagues. He started off the conversation, we are colleagues. This is a discussion on FBI training, and then went into it. The second point was when McCabe and the agents, and I believe Comey was in on this also, decided that he would not be told that if you lie to investigators, it is a crime.
Right.
Why would you do that? Well, they said to make him make him feel not rattled or whatever.
Right.
I forgot. That wasn't the word that they used. But as we said, well, a minute. You started out, McCabe, with work. You start talking work business with him, and then apparently sometime in the conversation after that, asked if FBI agents could come over. What I notice is I haven't seen anywhere where it's been stated, and maybe it is, and we just haven't seen it, that he was advised we're investigating this. If he was told, because they could have said, look, we called about this, and then asked if we could talk to him.
Right.
Well, that's talking to him is different than if they wrote in the 302 and it was the truth where they said, okay, we're done with this. Look, we're doing this investigation on Russian collusion.
Right. Yeah.
We know you've talked to the Russian ambassador. We want to talk to you about that. At that point, you've been told it's an investigation. At that point, they got you.
Yeah.
We're wondering if they ever got to that point of stating this is an investigation, because it seems like everything that we have seen so far, that they were trying to avoid any appearance that they were doing any type of investigation. Now, number one, they knew he broke no law. Number two, he knew he didn't break any law.
Right.
Number three, since they knew he didn't break any law, they were relatively sure he knew he didn't break any law.
Right.
So there wasn't any type of investigation going on in him and anybody else. It was just a general discussion on communications with the Russians. Why? Because we're in counterintelligence and you're the president's lead person on national security.
Yeah.
And so this is all about building a relationship. Well, that's not an investigation. And that's not something that any reasonable person would suspect unless the word investigation was used. Have you noticed nobody has stated that that word was used?
Nope.
And he was told that there was an investigation going on, and this was part of the Russian collusion investigation. If not, and if the judge views that they are withholding evidence or postdating the CO2, or excuse me, the CO2. I'm sorry, I'm confusing climate change with the Mueller investigation. Mm-hmm. If they postdated the 302, and you know, 7 months later, and they had an original 302 that they don't want him to see.
Right.
That's trouble for a judge. I mean, all of that is trouble. Now, ISIS says that he predicts, Daryl Issa said that he believes a judge will throw the case out. I can't go that far because I don't know what other information the judge has. And so not me.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Issa knows that I don't know.
Well, and I don't have that confidence. I would love to think that if the judge does find this to be the case, look at what look at what we do know about this. This particular case, the facts of this case, no one is disputing. No one. Except for the fact that Mueller's team is trying to say, well, it wasn't entrapment. Well, of course they're going to say that. But your actions show otherwise. Look at how many times they went out of their way in order to make him feel like it wasn't an investigation.
Yep. And then Comey stating that to Nicole Wallace.
That if it were a more sophisticated administration, we wouldn't have gotten away with it. What gotten away with what? What do you believe you got away with?
Right.
Got away with? That's language used by people who know they've done something wrong. What do you mean got away with? That's my question for Comey. Explain that for me. Those are the words he used. We wouldn't have gotten away with it. Gotten away with it. Wow. You're telling me you did something wrong. And so, you know how they say ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, they were using the ignorance in Comey's words, or the way Comey was speaking. It implies they were using and relying on the ignorance of the incoming administration.
Right.
But even then, just imagine that you're portraying the incoming president as some kind of big, unknowing goofball. Now, he didn't say that. He was talking about the sophistication. In other words, what they would know, because Trump's not a lawyer. Many of his predecessors were. But imagine that Trump knows nothing about how it works. Does that still give you the right as investigators to come in? Because when the FBI comes to my door, I'm not a lawyer. Are you telling me because I'm some stupid guy on the street that you're just going to be able to get away with more?
That you're not going to have to, for example, tell me it's an investigation.
Right.
Or we're investigating something.
Why is it that is the law? Why is it that his Miranda rights, according to Daryl Issa, and I would agree, based on what I know, were violated? The reason those rights were recognized was because
Miranda's different than the investigative law.
But here's the difference. If you walk into that situation and you don't disclose it's an investigation,
right,
at all. This is the point Issa was making. The reason you do that, the reason that they have rights during the investigative process, we're not talking about being detained and going to jail. We're talking about during the investigative process, there has to be disclosure in that process. And why is that in place? Because the overwhelming majority of us are not lawyers. And you have to assume Michael Flynn, with all of his experience, still isn't.
Well,
but
you,
even
when,
to that
you see,
even to that degree, they went out of their way to make it look like something else, paint it something different.
And that's when you look at it, when you look at it and go straight down the line. They knew he committed no crime. He knew he committed no crime.
Right.
They, from what we know, they approached it and didn't bring it up as the first thing. They started with, you know, hey, we've got things we've got to discuss as colleagues, and then went into it. And then they didn't want to tell him specifically. They talked about it. We don't want to tell him that he'll be breaking the law because they didn't want him to know that it was an investigation. And then Comey comes straight out and says, oh, we wouldn't have got away with this with another. Well, excuse me. Then you were trying to do everything possible to not let him know that this was an investigation, and then go after him for lying to investigators when he did not know. I mean, when it gets down to it, as we've said, does the person being questioned, does that person have a right to know that it is an investigation at that point, or reasonably know it's an investigation, and that you're not just colleagues just talking about something?
They absolutely do. They do.
And I believe they do. If Miranda rights exist, then certainly the right to reasonably understand that these are FBI agents asking you about an investigation. Otherwise, lying to an FBI agent about anything would be a crime.
Well,
you could morph it into a crime
even
if there wasn't an investigation.
Right. Even in an undercover setting?
That's a great point.
I mean, it opens the doors to people's rights being violated left and right.
Right. That's a great point. In an undercover setting,
right?
Does it? He's identified himself as an FBI agent.
Right.
You don't know that
exactly.
866-90 Red Eye.
Cold and snowy weather doesn't just affect your fuel; it also affects your fuel's filtration system. For diesel engines, fuel filters are the last line of defense for dust, dirt, and debris entering the combustion cylinders. Cold weather will only make matters worse. Any major drop in temperature can cause your fuel to gel and clog your filters. If you're having issues with your fuel system, try changing your filter. You should also be changing your fuel filter during every maintenance check. And it would be wise to keep an extra filter in your cab this winter. You never know when you may need it. If you need help changing your filter, stop into TA Truck Service today and let one of our expert technicians assist you.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Now. It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley. I'm Gary McNamara. In the Hill.com, Jonathan Turley, the well-known constitutional law professor, not a Trump fan,
right,
said what was shocking was not that Comey violated protocols or policies again, but the reaction of the audience to his admission in describing how he set up a critical meeting with Michael Flynn, former national security advisor to President Trump. The audience was audibly thrilled by his cleverness in keeping Flynn unrepresented by legal counsel and unaware of the true nature of the meeting. Scheduled to testify to House members again next week, Comey may find a less rapturous reception in Congress. In his interview in New York City, Nicole Wallace asked him, "It's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the stateroom. How did that happen?" The audience erupted when Comey said dryly, "I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration." And Turley says it right there. And so if Turley's saying it and we're saying it, the judge is saying it, that, hey, Flynn, no legal counsel and unaware of the true nature of the meeting, which meant he didn't know it was an investigation going on.
Right.
At that point, as a judge, I throw out the plea.
Agent Provocateurs, Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just as we were heading out of the last segment, I said that if that's all there is to this case, I mean, and again, with the Michael Flynn case, there's probably a lot of things that we don't know, and I don't know what the judge knows. But when you see in this case, and again, when I read what Jonathan Turley, how he wrote it, you know, what Comey and the FBI was saying. They knew they didn't have anything on him, but they misrepresented what the meeting he believes was about. And, right. And Comey saying that to Nicole Wallace, you know, made it that this was a meeting that we're having, not an interrogation, not a fact gathering for an investigation.
Right.
This was a meeting that they didn't want to tell him why they were having the meeting. They knew he wasn't guilty of anything. He knew he wasn't guilty of anything. They started the conversation by talking about things that they do together, a training session, FBI training session, you know, with the Director of National Security,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to be working together. So they're talking as colleagues.
Right.
And it seems from the information we know so far that the word we're investigating this and we need your input. We're investigating said crime. What do you know about this?
Right.
That it seems as if those words were never said and that it was never said. In fact, was premeditated by Comey, McCabe and Peter Strzok not to warn him, look. This is an investigation and lying will, you can be charged with lying, that they knew he hadn't committed a crime. He knew he hadn't committed any crime. They didn't want to tell him that it was an investigation into a non-specific crime, because that's another thing, too. It was an investigation into what? What was the crime?
Right. What would they be investigating?
And we get back to that all along. You still don't know what the crime is.
No.
And everything seems to be related to not being able to identify. Mueller wasn't able to identify the crime. The witnesses, for example, that they're going after, trying to connect the dots to some possible crime that they don't know what that crime is of collusion because it's never been identified. They go to another guy who hasn't committed a crime that they know hasn't committed a crime that they have already spied into his conversations with a Russian government official that was completely legal for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell him it's an investigation. Make it seem like it's just a discussion that they're having, and then charge him with lying in order to find out if they can connect more dots to a crime that nobody can identify to begin with.
Right.
Now, I'm not a judge, but if I was, and knowing what I know now, I have a big problem with that and the plea bargain that came with it.
Well, and this is the problem I think that or the case or the situation everyone is looking at is, I guess, what can be done by the judge. We already know the concerns that the judge, in this case, Judge Sullivan, has issued. We already know, too, about the exculpatory evidence situation that was attached to this case from the get-go. But if tomorrow, again, I don't have the confidence that Daryl Issa does, but if that does happen and Judge Sullivan says, you know what, there's no plea deal here because there's no case here, dismissed. If that happens, you talk about a massive, massive hit on the Mueller, the whole Mueller investigation, the integrity of it all, because we've talked about again and again and again. If there was something there, if there was a crime there in terms of the incoming National Security Advisor, Flynn, if there were a crime there, and they remember, they have the recording, they have everything they need from that December 29th, 2016 conversation with the Russian ambassador. What else would need to be learned? It was all done on the up and up, right? It was all done with valid warrants and a valid process in place, right? And that's because
we don't know.
Seriously, you look at Mueller's work up until now. Manafort, not related to the election. Papadopoulos, nope. You look at the Cohen case is not the Mueller team, by the way. That's the Southern District of New York. I know some people on social media got those confused, those teams or those two different prosecutorial arms, but it's not the same investigation. Then we go back to the Russian investigation or the Russian indictments. 13 Russians. He indicts. They show up with American lawyers. Nice. Well, we're not ready to move forward. Yeah, you are, because you indicted.
Right. So you weren't ready to indict.
Because they have the right to discovery. They have the right, even as foreign nationals, if you're going to charge them in the U.S., their American law firm says, well, we want, A, a speedy trial, and B, we want discovery. We want all exculpatory evidence, which would mean that these 13 Russians, and according to Mueller, they had connections to the Kremlin, would have to get government information as a part of their defense, because Mueller would be forced to hand it over.
You know, you made a great point, a great question that you asked during the bottom of the hour, and you said, is this why it took so long to get to the sentencing? Did Mueller in the back of his mind or somebody on his staff realize that if the truth came out on this, that this particular Judge Sullivan, mm-hmm. because of the Ted Stevens case, and because they wanted, what do they call it, the Brady documentation, whatever.
Right.
That they wanted all the information, all the exculpatory evidence, everything in it. And they believe that they didn't follow protocol, that they have been trying to delay this as long as humanly possible. Because think about this. If this came out 6 months ago, and this has the potential of blowing up any credibility that the special prosecutor has.
Oh, yeah.
Completely blowing it to shreds.
Oh, yeah.
And did somebody inside the Mueller team recognize that and say, we got to stretch this out as long as we possibly can? Because we haven't been up front.
And they haven't. I mean, because, again, the process, if you've got a plea deal, you think, oh, it's over, it's done. I mean, that's just a natural thought to have. Look, we're going to pressure Flynn. It'll break you. We'll break your bank. And then we might go after your son. He's not a guy that got rich in the military. Doesn't work that way. So, according to his lawyers, well, and to keep his son out of it and also to protect any assets he might have, then he's willing to go along and cooperate. You know, to the extent that the story a few weeks ago, Flynn has firsthand knowledge about communications by the transition team with Russia. That's the whole point. He was the one on the phone December 29th, 2016, with the Russian ambassador. Of course he has firsthand knowledge of it. It was him doing the talking, in part. But it was ridiculous coverage by the media.
There was no law breaking.
But there's no law breaking, and you know that if you're Mueller's team going in, there's no law breaking. So what? You're going to get him on lying. $25 million tab so far for Mueller's team. And this is what we're getting. Nothing on the election. In fact, we've had an election since. Nothing at all on the election itself. You've got an empty case time after time after time after time. Even when you go after the Russians, you don't have it together.
Right. You're not ready to go, which brings up the point, as we've said all along, was that just a public relations ploy? Because weren't you ready to go?
Remember,
you weren't ready to go because you never really thought anything was going to come out of it.
Yes.
But it shows the American public and the Democrats that you are accomplishing something.
Yes.
The investigation is moving forward.
Right. We're doing something. Well, keep in mind, when their American law firm that was representing them showed up, what was the first objection by the prosecution? the Mueller team. It was, well, we don't know if these 13 had actually been served. And the lawyers for them said, it doesn't matter. We're here now. Assume they have been.
Right.
The whole point of serving is that you show up. Well, we're here.
We're here. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Let's go to Justin in Cleveland, Tennessee, about the Mueller investigation, Michael Flynn, and more. Hi, Justin. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. What's up?
Well, as far as the Mueller investigation, I've kind of felt like over the past 2 years, it's really been led towards, I believe, in my personal opinion, to get rid of the president. And, you know, some people will say, well, what's your personal, what's your proof on that? But, I mean, when you look about what time all this investigation occurred and, you know, everything that was said and mentioned, you start to realize that they're doing nothing but trying to pinpoint out the small things. And, I mean, let's be real. We have more issues going on in the world today than to worry about minute things that they're trying to bring out to air, you know? And
well,
I kind of wanted your opinion on is it morally correct for, you know, this investigation to go on against Flynn when he's done nothing wrong? I mean, there's no crime been committed. There's no reason into going in and acting like this. I mean, if they had something on him, why not go in and say, hey, let's sit down and let's talk. We've got this. We want the truth. You know, let's have an actual investigation.
Well, I mean, I think the major problem that we have is we don't feel that the special prosecutor law has been applied correctly here. There is no, as we've said, to use the example with Watergate, special counsel for Watergate. Why? We knew what the crime was. Somebody broke into the Democrat headquarters.
Yep.
We knew what the crime was. You appoint a special prosecutor. Nobody can identify what the crime is.
No. I think there's the basis of all of it. What are you investigating?
Right. And it was the general, did the Trump campaign collude with the Russians to hack, and then it became change the outcome of the election? And we have always stated, what is the specific allegation?
Well, because think of this. Imagine that you were willing to, for the sake of the discussion here, you were willing to send out this special prosecutor on the possibility that someone or a group of people affiliated with the Trump campaign worked with the Russians in order to change the outcome of the election. After all this time, we're talking about 2 years now. After all this time, wouldn't you think they would at least say, aha, we've got a criminal event here? That they would have, without even assigning the liability to it, to who was responsible for it, at least after 2 years, they would have pointed to something and said, this is the event that happened. This led to that, and this led to a change or an attempt, someone attempting to change the outcome of the election.
And where do we have evidence of that?
Where is it?
Hillary campaign and the DNC.
From the get-go.
And nobody is debating the facts behind that.
Right.
Yet it sits there as if it doesn't exist.
Right. And so how do you reconcile all of that? How in the world do you reconcile a special prosecutor that has now spent $25 million going after and has indicted on crimes that are not related to the election, and still his entire supposed purpose for being there doesn't even have a criminal event attached to it. Not one.
Right.
Michael Flynn, that conversation happened December 29th, 2016. Just to refresh your memory, that's after the election. And we've had another election since
the
2016 election.
And he didn't break
any law.
There
was no law breaking
there. Conversation.
None. They didn't even cite, listen, in lieu of facing a charge of this crime, Michael Flynn and his attorneys have agreed to a plea. There was none of that, which clearly would have been leaked. No, we have nothing once again.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Wow.
What happened?
I just realized a week from now, it's
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in the news today, sorry, I just came to that realization. in the news today, will or will there not be a shutdown, a partial shutdown of the government? Starting this Friday. So far, neither side has budged. Now, the only thing is, this came out, I think, over the weekend, that they were trying to come up with a temporary solution that would fund the government through the holidays.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs to get their days off.
Right.
To refresh and rejuvenate.
Well, and the...
By the way, I have to tell you this, because I told you this, this is really the news. The news is... How will you and I, after we go on the short vacation for the holidays and come back on January 2nd, what is it going to be like? When you think about it, because there's a couple of weekends in there, so we're talking about probably a full 10 days will go by.
Yeah.
I looked at you and said, I don't think I'm going to be able to absorb everything that happens, even though it's normally everything dies during the holidays. We know with the president's tweets, it will not.
Yeah, I was talking to a colleague in the break room earlier, and I said, you know, we're going to come back from this break and walk into a world of what? He did what? Sound like the big bopper. He said what? I mean, it's just going to be weird because, I don't know, I hark back to 2 years ago at this time, and we left, and there was one narrative. You know, they hacked the election. The Russians hacked the election.
Yes.
And we came back in January of 2017, and it was Trump did it, basically. Right. Trump and the Russians hacked the election machines. But remember where that started. Well, they hacked the DNC.
Right, right. They hacked the DNC. By the time we got back, that was January 2nd or January 2nd of 2017. You and I will never forget that because we looked at each other and we went, where did this come from?
Yeah, right.
it was really pretty amazing. So I'm thinking to myself, what is the world going to be like when we get back on January 2nd this time? Now, the partial government shutdown.
Yeah.
You and I talked about, we had read part of Mark Thiessen's op-ed piece saying, wow, the Democrats, they've got what they wanted. Mm. They claim they want border security. Look, there's border security there anyway. They won't fund $5 billion for a wall when they could get everything that they've ever dreamed of when it comes to illegal immigration. They could get DACA. They could get those, the DACA kids. They could all become citizens. And then to get the 10 or 15 or 20 million over the next year, they could deal for total legal status for all
yeah.
of the whatever it people estimate it is, 11 million, 12 million, 20 mm-hmm. million. Mm-hmm. Every time you have a number, I get an email. It's not that, it's this. Whatever the millions, tens of millions are.
Yes. All of them.
All of them. Yes. All of them. That solves, that really solves the problem,
it
doesn't it?
It does.
That, and it's like they, if Trump offered some of these things and did it publicly, would he put the Democrats on a, you know, on a spot? Now, when we talk about legal status, not citizenship.
Right.
And he talked about it too. Legal status, not citizenship. Where, as we said, Trump could make the point, well, you just want citizenship so you can get the votes. We're offering legal status so they can be here legally, so their families won't be torn apart, so they can have, you know, they can have a life here. And you even talked about the fact, give them an option. You can either stay here as a legal citizen, or you can leave the country and start the process as everybody else did and get in line to become a U.S. citizen again. But it's your choice. You can stay here.
Permanent legal status.
Permanent legal status, but you cannot get citizenship. You will not be allowed to get citizenship. Once you accept this, you will never get citizenship.
Right.
But your life can be sane and you can be a legal resident. And that's the deal that I'll make to get the $25 billion for the wall.
Yeah.
For the $5 billion, I'll give you the DACA. And that's DACA citizenship for the kids.
Right.
And would the Democrats, would they go for that? His point was Democrats really don't want a deal. We said this. Democrats really don't want to solve the problem of illegal immigration. Then what would their big issue be?
Right. And that's, I think when it comes down to it is there a deal to be made? Because even if they could get that, imagine that. That the Democrats could think that they could get that, what would have in the past, it would have been considered, I guess, a win to say legal status for all Dreamers, including citizenship, and for the rest, it would be your choice, legal status or self-report and claim that you would like to return to your country of origin in order to start the process so that you can one day become a citizen. The problem with that, by their thinking, is that it does not get them to, well, legal status to the point that they could vote in 2020. The point being is that no, that would take too long.
Right.
No, that would take too long. And that would also, I mean, if you look at, I would wonder if the administration would throw in some kind of deal on sanctuary policy and everything else. Of course, you're going to have to deal with local leaders there. Congress really can't do anything about that. But I don't know that the Democrats would want to hand him any win, anything. Well, any deal that gets him the wall, I think, is a no deal for them.
Since they won't approach it, nothing is going to get done over the next 2 years.
Right.
Nothing. Right.
No, it won't.
Not, and by the way, that's not a bad thing.
No, that, it's okay. I mean, yeah,
Congress not spending our money
is a
good thing. Well, that's the other thing that, you know, that Thiessen brought up. He said, look, for Trump to get his $25 billion, to get that wall that he wants, because they said it just doesn't have to be an immigration. They can get health care.
Right.
They can strike a health care deal. They could strike a deal for health care.
Sure.
They could strike a deal for more aid for college. Mm-hmm. They could strike. Now, they might not get as far because you might get pushback when it comes to just giving away the free money,
right,
as the Democrats wish to do. But you could at least get health care and a discussion on making it easier for kids to go to college.
Right.
And we're just bringing that up as the things that the Democrats want. So is the thing from the Democrats, we really don't want to solve the programs that we even talk about. We just want to win 2020. And so we have to demonize Trump for the next 2 years. Hey, by the way, the other thing was interesting. I saw the article, too. I forgot who wrote it. Was it in The Hill? And it was a fascinating article looking at actually some of the numbers. Some of the numbers, I mean, you saw some flaws in it, but saying that Trump will win in 2020.
Oh, yeah. Just looking back on how many two-term presidents there have been. That essentially the advantage goes to the incumbent. I guess the biggest flaw there is the fact that we have Trump as president really kind of sets aside a lot of the principles in the past that would apply to an election. Okay. But they also make some interesting points, that, you know, it was an opinion piece in the Hill, but they make some very interesting points in terms of, if you take like, Ford out of the equation, right? So in terms of one term presidents, you also look, I think, at right now in 2018, but trying to look forward to 2020, and you ask yourself, is his base eroded? The answer is no, but he didn't win squarely on his base. He convinced people outside of his base to come over. And the bigger factor there, as we've said, really will be about the economy. I suspect that the tariff thing is probably going to move along and be behind us, certainly by this time next year. So the question is, what kind of economy would we be looking at? Are we looking at a slowdown? If there are no major tariff hurdles in the way. But a good economy, this president especially needs a good economy in place in order to be able to win re-election. And that's going to have to happen. I think with a good economy, with that kind of growth, regardless of the back and forth, I think he has a solid, very solid chance in 2020. Especially, they broke it down into who, the article broke it down into who would run on the left. Joe Biden?
Well, I mean, that's
Hillary. Look, she and Bill are not getting the numbers. So it comes down to one, Beto. One guy has the rock stardom. But really, when you get down to it, he doesn't. He didn't win his home state.
Yeah, when, you know, we have said the president needs a good economy. And when we have talked the tariffs, whatever, we still highly doubt that a Republican president can win a normal presidential election. But the wild card is the Democrats don't have anybody.
Right. They don't. And that's the point in the article on the Hill.
They don't have. They don't.
Who's there?
Right. They don't have a. They don't. There is no John Kerry or Al Gore.
No.
Think about it. Because and John Kerry and Al Gore, both senators for a significant, well, he, vice president and senators, Al Gore, but and Kerry, a senator for a long, long time. Well established. Well, the only well established person you have is Biden, and Biden is sort of out of the loop.
Right.
Because he was vice president, but really he hasn't been a senator for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And so he's really, you know, who is this guy? And now it's like, well, you know, I might only run for 2 years and then the vice president take that whole deal thing. But really, when you look at everybody falling by the wayside, Beto, that's really it.
That's it. And why is that? It's because he's an unknown. Well,
right.
All of that ends by mid-year of next year, because there was a lot of the stuff it happened in Texas, but outside of Texas, where they were creating the rock star, the skateboarding through a fast food parking lot. Well, that means two things: diddly and squat.
We need a skater.
Well,
that's what we've been lacking.
Well, what exactly? Well, because it comes down to what we need: somebody who knows what they're doing. We need somebody with the experience. The euphoria behind Barack Obama, which started really at the DNC in 2004, the speech that he gave, but then creating the rock star then, and then euphoria about the possibly electing the first and then eventually electing the first black president. Well, Beto doesn't have anything except skateboarding. Sorry, well, that doesn't get you to rock star status.
And remember, and I think people forget a lot of things, but remember that 2004 speech, what people were saying about him, you know, post-racial president, that
Is
somebody who can bring America together. And remember that as we even got close to the election, the number of people that I talked to, the fireman who I used to, ice skate.
Mm-hmm.
Do ice skating workouts, not skateboarding workouts.
No figure skating.
No figure skating. No skateboarding.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll never forget it, because, you know, he's a lot more conservative than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the image he was trying to portray. That's not Beto's image,
right?
At all. Well, I mean, he's
case
promoting
in point.
He's promoting
yes.
socialism. He's promoting things that Obama was not doing, even though Obama did it in the primaries. They ignored him. People really aren't ignoring that type of talk anymore.
Well, and keep in mind the audio we played from the whole list, and this wasn't ages ago. This was just a few years ago of them talking about border security, including one of then Senator Barack Obama talking about border security. And while you can't get away with that as a Democrat today, that's what works against the whole rock star thing. So let's imagine Beto and Trump are on stage. Well, Trump, you can set the wall aside, but on national security, people believe Trump. They won't. Beto is going to have to say it. He's going to have to say he supports sanctuary policy. He's going to have to say things that the party is going to require him to say along the way. That's very different than a guy who comes in and a senator from Illinois comes in and says he believes marriage is between a man and a woman when he came in. That's how he got elected.
Right.
And all of that changes. The same thing happened with Bill Clinton. Well, the Democrats, the youth that would push that vote over, that would make that happen, they don't care who you are because you're yesterday's news. The moment that you talk out of line or say anything that we don't agree with.
No, you make a great point. In 2008, in 2010, in 2012, in 2013, maybe even in 2014, you could grapple
yes,
with an issue.
You could be grappling.
You can't
anymore.
Be a Democrat and grapple anymore.
Nope.
You have to buy into everything.
Yep.
And including the transgender.
Yep.
Probably transracial movement by the time we get to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're black, you can be white. Remember mm-hmm. when Obama left office in one of his last interviews
mm-hmm.
that race is a social construct.
Right.
It means you are whatever race you think you are. And those are the things that you have to buy into now as a Democrat.
Yes.
You can't grapple with these things anymore as President Obama did.
And you have to champion the cause if you want to be president. Yep. And that's not just one cause. It's every cause.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Most farmers harvest their crops once a year, some three or four times a year, but for a few producers, it's nonstop.
We grow year-round.
And harvest year-round. That's Megan Klotzbach. She's with Mother Earth Organic Mushrooms, a fungus farm in Pennsylvania. Now, of course, mushrooms are generally grown in buildings in the dark. They grow very fast. They can double their size overnight in some cases. And so, by necessity,
we harvest every day except for Christmas Day. We give them a break.
What happens to those poor little guys on Christmas Day? Nobody comes to get
them. Well, our growers still come in and check on them. We change the temperature a little bit to slow the growth so that we're not growing too fast that day. But, you know, it's definitely not ideal for them, but it gives our harvesters the day off.
Which I guess they desperately need. So for mushroom growers, Christmas Day is still a work day, but the big job of cutting the mushrooms, processing them, is put on hold for that one special day of the year. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. New CNN poll. Majority now against impeaching Trump. It's moving in the opposite direction, as people might think.
Right.
New CNN poll shows a majority of Americans are opposed to impeaching Donald Trump. In September, a plurality, 47%, supported impeaching the Trump. Today, 50% say Trump shouldn't be removed from office. 50% said they don't feel that Trump ought to be impeached and removed from office, while 43% said he should be, moving in the opposite direction. Slowly.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's another thing, of course, that works for the president if that maintains between now and 2020. Here's your forecast.
The Pacific waters off South America are often a predictor of what we can expect in winter, and the Climate Prediction Center has that forecast out now. Below average precipitation for the upper Midwest and Great Lakes is expected this winter. no part of the U.S. is favored to have below-average temperatures. That does not mean that can't occur, however. Above-average precipitation is expected in the southern U.S., from the desert southwest to Florida and up the east coast. That from the Climate Prediction Center. Here's a few select cities forecast and high temperature today. Seattle, rain and 52. Dallas, drying out, sunny, 62. Sunny and 37 in Chicago for New York City. Partly sunny, 46 after the weekend rains. Sunshine returns today in Atlanta, high 60. Clear skies, 72 degrees in Miami. There's a look at your national forecast to start the work week from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Through the woods, it's Gary and Eric, who knows where they're headed, on Red Eye Radio.
866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. This from the Sunday morning news shows yesterday, the president's spokesperson, Stephen Miller.
We're going to do whatever is necessary to build the border wall to stop this ongoing crisis of illegal immigration.
And that means
if it comes to it, absolutely. This is a very fundamental issue. At stake is the question of whether or not the United States remains a sovereign country, whether or not we can establish and enforce rules for entrance into our country. The Democrat Party is a simple choice. They can either choose to fight for America's working class or to promote illegal immigration. You can't do both.
Now, except for the social media comments on what they call his spray on hair.
Yeah.
That appeared yesterday. I asked you the question, will Stephen Miller replace Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Quite possible.
I mean, he's filled in before.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, because that's an extremely blunt and direct statement that I believe that most Trump supporters like to hear. It's direct, it gets to the point, but it's concise and consistent. And that's one thing I think that Stephen Miller does bring to the administration. Now, they may hate him outside of the converted may hate him, but there would be a reason that they would hate him, and that's because he is direct. He can be. He isn't always, but for the most part, he is direct, concise, and gets right to the point. What did he do? He said they can't have it both ways. Can't say you care about the American working people and borders don't matter.
Yeah.
It's some of the kind of political rhetoric that we have suggested that they do. Now, we've gone further. We believe that they should accuse the Democrats, even if some people believe it's an overreach. Mm-hmm. I don't. But if some people believe it's an overreach to say, we believe you're for open borders, make them respond. If they get angry and say, we are not, how dare you lie, then fine, tell me what level of border enforcement you want. You've got to get to the point of getting them to answer the question.
And it has to be done by somebody who knows what they're doing in terms of making the points. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders has been I won't say flawless because that's a big word, but about as close to flawless in that position as you can get. In other words, not backing down, not flinching. And that's what I would expect. I think Stephen Miller has that ability.
It's a very tough position.
Yeah.
Look, the president is his own worst enemy. He's the thing is, he may be consistent on a general message, but as soon as you get into the minutiae, he's all over the place.
Right.
And you can't have that. You need people that can speak in those clear and concise ways to promote your agenda when you get down to the political rhetoric that needs to be right now extremely blunt and cut through all the BS that's out there. As we said, you know, last week even, when the president was with Nancy Pelosi and Schumer.
Yeah.
And when he said twice, well, we all know that we're all for border security, and you and I were just, Mr. President, don't do that.
Don't give them the out.
Don't give them the out. Don't do that. They're not for border security. Oh, okay, yeah, we're all at the same goal, border. No, they're not. You need to point out that they're not for border security, that they're doing anything not to have border security, that if you believe in sanctuary cities, which means if you're able to get across once, you get to stay and we'll do anything not to cooperate with the federal government so you can stay. That's sort of a clue that they don't care about border security and border enforcement. Why? State of California is giving you the greatest incentive. Get across whatever way you can and you get to stay. We will not cooperate with the federal government in returning you.
Yeah.
And use that against them. Throw that right back in their face. We've said over and over again, how can you have a discussion on this? It's an issue that is concerned to most Americans. And here's most Americans, the vast majority, wish to be compassionate.
Sure.
On DACA, the majority of Americans wish to give them legal status or legal citizenship or citizenship due to the fact that it's not their fault. They were kids when they were brought over.
Right.
All right. So it's not their fault. We're not going to blame the parent. We're not going to blame the children for the sins of their fathers or their sins of their parents. That's basically what you're getting. I mean, that's the American public. That's the fair-minded American public. Even on those that have illegally been over here, most Americans would like to solve that problem. And I believe that the majority of Americans, I believe it's roughly in the polling around 70%, would be okay with legal status. Not citizenship, but legal status.
Mm-hmm.
It might even, if you emphasize illegal status, it might even be more. But then there's a point that it has to end and we have to come up with a different system to control our borders. And Americans don't want to fool around with it. Most Americans say, look, if we're going to make this concession, we can't do like we've done before and have another 15 million over here 5 years ago and say they get it too. We need to have a policy that ends this.
Well, and what stronger symbol of that than a wall? Because we've talked about it in the past. And it's likely where the president got the idea years ago, long before becoming president. If you want to talk about comprehensive immigration reform, we can have that discussion. As long as we first talk about how to secure the border.
Yeah, but they won't tell you what comprehensive immigration reform is.
In the past, they wouldn't. But is there anything more definitive than a wall?
It is impossible to have a debate when only one side will debate. The Democrats don't want to debate it. We saw it last week when Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Why did they fight so hard not to come clean? Why did they want to take everything into private conversation? Why didn't they want to have it? Because they don't believe that in public they can tell the American people what their party really wants. That's why.
They know they can't go the full measure on it.
There is no other reason.
Right.
And you know why? To anybody listening right now, I don't care what side you're on. You can be on either side of the issue. But you're willing to promote what you believe to everybody.
Right.
Last thing you would want to do is say, well, I want to go. I'm not going to discuss this in public. I'm only going to do it in private. Right after I finish with Twitter here.
Well, and if they're not for open borders, then why do they support sanctuary policy? How can you have one and the same if you say, no, we need secure borders, and also we're not going to cooperate with federal officials? No. There's no way to bring those two thoughts together in the same thought. You're either for border enforcement or you're not. You support sanctuary policy, you're not. Which means you're for open borders.
Yeah, you can't make, and this is something, and I don't believe the Republicans have made that case that we have made. That you can't claim that you're for sanctuary cities, which means once you get over here, we will not cooperate with the federal government at all.
Right.
To remove, you cannot make that case and then state that you are for border security,
right,
or for comprehensive immigration reform and border security. And I believe the president, when he said that to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, stop it. You've got to understand that the words that you use matter, and they will use that against you. Look. we're in this meeting. The president says we're for border security. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows we're not. And right. the president's taking our side on it. Mm-hmm. And he did it to be nice.
Right.
He did it to be nice. But you can't do that in public. If you're going to challenge them, as he started doing, continue challenging them and say, you are not for border security. You know, I'd like to say that we're all here to discuss border security and that we're all for it, but I don't believe that you are for border security. Yes, we are, Mr. President. You cannot be for border security, Nancy, and come from a state that is now a sanctuary state that does not believe that the local governments should cooperate with federal immigration officials on federal immigration law. You can't have it both ways, Nancy.
There's no way you can have those two same thoughts.
That's what he should have said at that point.
Yeah,
you can't have it both ways.
And it's again, which begs the question why or what will be done about any of it between now and, well, the next 2 years, essentially.
Well, if
likely nothing
again. The unique situation is here with the Democrats is I think there is an acknowledgement now by Schumer and Pelosi coming out and saying absolutely he gets no more money than the $1.6 billion, which would be just allocated for normal repairs and whatever, the normal budget of what needs to be done. I believe that is an acknowledgement, and if they stick to it, that their party is now run by the far left. That it's run by the open borders people. Remember, Schumer had a completely different opinion five, 6 years ago. Completely different opinion. Totally different opinion on illegal immigration. And so did Nancy Pelosi did. Dianne Feinstein did. Pelosi, I'm trying to find the audio cuts on her. I haven't found a lot of audio on her demanding tough border security. But you can find it all over the place with Schumer. You can find it all over the place with Obama. You can find it all over the place with Hillary Clinton. You can find it from the mainstream of the Democrats from just 5 years ago. I believe that they're being pushed out. And I believe that the open borders people have now gotten the influence of the Democrat Party. And if you don't see any type of compromise with the president to get some of what they actually want, which would be, you know, improvements on DACA, maybe citizenship, maybe legal status down the road, that they bring that out. If they don't bring that out here in the next month, and I'll give them a month because they may not want to do anything until they get power and then get full credit for it, where Nancy Pelosi gets credit for it mm-hmm. as Speaker of the House. So they may want to delay it. But if you don't see any movement to do things that will help border enforcement, because I think that's what they're dealing with right now. You've got that portion of the Democrat Party that's like, no, we don't care. He's not going to get the wall under any circumstances because we want people to be able to get in here. We want open borders. And you can't give him that because what the Republicans are trying to do is give you what you want here and then state tougher rules, tougher regulations in the future, a wall where people can't get across, and we can't have the migration that we wish to have. I think that would be the evidence right there, if you want evidence that they have taken over the party.
If you need, I guess, that evidence to know that. But the fact of the matter is that there's no way they're going to denounce sanctuary policy or anything else they've built up until now. And keep in mind, they've ramped that up since Trump has been president. It's very plain and simple. Their actions say everything.
Well, we saw what they did with the caravan.
Right.
And I believe that's the other thing. I believe that they look at that and they say, wow, we should have been hurt worse.
Right.
866-90-RUD-EYE.
This engine report is brought to you by Detroit. The DD15 is designed to provide its peak power and torque between 1,000 and 1,500 RPMs. This fuel economy sweet spot means there isn't much more power available at 1,800 RPM than at 1,400. The only thing being accomplished is burning more fuel without any real benefit. While cruising, try to keep the engine between 1,050 and 1,450 RPMs for maximum efficiency. Also, upshift around 1,650 RPMs or sooner to stay in the sweet spot. sweet spot. Speed is the enemy of fuel economy. On average, every 1 mile per hour increase in road speed above 55 costs 0.1 mpg, which adds up by the mile. Cruising in the high 50 to low 60 mph range can help you get the most out of every gallon of fuel. Ultimately, traffic on surface roads and stoplights will impact travel time far more than a few mph on the highway.
For Shell Rotella, that's the engine report.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So what do you think the what's the over and under for James Comey and what he will remember?
Nothing.
I was going to say
I don't recall
400 different questions. You know, the thing is, and I'm sure it's ticking off a lot of the members of the Judiciary Committee. The fact is, in his book, he remembers all these details. Gets on with Nicole Wallace, can tell you exactly, well, that was me, and we did this, and we thought this, and we thought this, and we thought this.
Right.
Gets in front of Congress. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't know.
Right.
And yeah. It's like everybody knows that he's lying.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that he remembers, but how do you avoid perjury? By stating you don't remember.
You don't remember.
That's how you avoid perjury.
Yeah. To the best of my recollection.
Yeah. To the best of my recollection, I don't remember.
Right.
To the best of my recollection, I have no recollection.
Well, and that's essentially what you get. And these clearly politically driven answers too, you know, along the way, which he did, a week and a half ago. And just the way that he would pause when Trey Gowdy would ask him a question. And I thought to myself, man, if Trey Gowdy were asking me questions, I wouldn't pause. I'd run. But he paused, and, you know, it was funny, even though it was behind closed doors, in reading it. I paused because, what, you can't remember? Let me guess. You can't remember.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.